I feel like I need to pray. Pray with me if you would. Father, we just witness where we're going with the footsteps that we heard leaving this room, Father. I pray for each child and each leader, Father, that is assembled in another room right now, that you be with them as well. They may learn and be taught, Father, your will and your way. We pray for the future of this church, Father. We pray for the words that will be said at this hour, for the music we will hear, for the message. Regardless of the age here, Father, we pray for the future of this church, this community, the state, and this nation in which we live, Father, and this world you have blessed us with. Father, right now, just open our hearts up. It's your Son's name we pray. Amen. I have the privilege, and I'm blessed to be able to be here today to introduce someone that God has placed in my path. I didn't know back in October that I'd be privileged to be on this day, January the 19th, 2020, to be introduced Steve and his wife Jan Gaines. They come to us today from a mid-North Carolina town called Goldston, not too far from Sanford, to get your bearings right. They've been happily married for 38 years and hoping it's at least 38 more. They have a son, Mitch, and a daughter, Jennifer, and two grandchildren, Blair 6 and Kate 4. Steve is semi-retired. I don't know what that means. And I think I'm fully retired, but I think I'm fully working still. But businessman. He's also founder of an organization called Blitz Worldwide. Blitz, B-L-I-T-S, stands for Business Leaders Inspired to Serve. And that's to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to all nations. And to do that, you have to travel some. And that's been no problem for Steve and Jan. A little over 200 trips, mission trips they have made, starting in 2006. You might have heard of some of these places: Africa, Indonesia, Cambodia, Brazil, Australia, Nicaragua, Dominican Republic, Cuba, Guatemala, and that's just the start of the list. And I was privileged back in October to have this guy as a roommate. So I know him a little bit better than you guys do. Got to learn a few things about Steve that week. But the main thing I learned about Steve is where his heart is. And his heart is to serve the Lord. I've asked Steve if he would come and share with us his testimony today and however God would lead you, Steve, in closing and presenting the gospel. I would like for you to have that freedom now to come and share with us. We have a common friend many of you have met already. His name is Patrick Fuller. Patrick said to me, you need to get to know this man. And I thank God for that privilege, Steve. So come and speak.
Good morning, Barbie's Baptist Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Anyone glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Singing was awesome, Leonard. Men's choir done great. Let's give him another hand. It's a privilege to come today and share our family story of forgiveness. We'd like to thank Pastor Ed Lauder for allowing me to use his pulpit this morning. And I'd like to give a special thanks to Lionel for asking me to come and share our family story of forgiveness this morning. I had the privilege of meeting Lionel, like he said, this morning in Guatemala. And he asked me then, would I come and share my testimony? And I told Lionel in Guatemala, I says, if you want me to, I'll be glad to. Just ask me to come. And so a few weeks ago, Lionel called me and asked me, says, are you still available to come on Baptist Men's Day and share your testimony? And I said, Lionel, do you think it is of the Lord? He says, I believe so. Your name's been in the bulletin now for several weeks. So God is good to confirm what he wants us to do. Amen. So a few weeks ago, I was just praying that the Lord would open the door to share our family testimony. It's very precious to us. And our family went through a lot of trials and tribulations for this day. So I'd like to share our family story. But I am here for my Lord and Savior to give him honor and glory. Amen. For what he's done for us and what he's did for our family. He can do the same for your family. So our family story is about forgiveness. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about, if you stay with me, we'll get through this. I call this 30 years and 20 minutes. So hang with me. We're going to roll pretty tight here. So as a child, I was raised in a home, some would say almost perfect. A loving mama and daddy, two sisters and a brother that loved each other. Our family was blessed and had more than enough. We all attended church, and I was baptized at the age of 7 years old. We had everything as a family. We'd done everything as a family. Everything was great until Satan started ripping our family apart. When I was 7 years old, my grandfather went to be with the Lord. My dad began to struggle with the loss of his father, and the void in my father's life became a void in our lives. My dad cracked the door to sin, and Satan came into our home. Mom and Daddy began social drinking, hanging out with the wrong people. It started slowly, you know, like one drink, one night a week, then two nights a week, and then every night. From the age of 7 years old, my sister and I would break up arguments, drive Mom and Daddy home when they were drinking, put them to bed each night. This became our lives because my parents cracked the door to sin in our family. When I was 15 years old, my mom and dad was out one Monday night drinking. My sister and I was home alone waiting for them to return home. I called the house that they were at and asked Mama, "When are y'all coming home?" She says, "I don't know, sugar." I said, "Let me talk to Daddy." That was the last time I talked to my beautiful, sweet, and loving mama. Daddy never came to the phone that night. The next time I talked to him was that night when they got home. I heard a loud noise in the kitchen, and my daddy was standing over my mother where she was laid on the kitchen floor, not moving. I looked at my dad and said, "What have you done now?" Put my mama and daddy to bed, just like another night. I would lay awake to make sure they didn't get up and fall. That was normal for my sister and I. The next morning, my sister came running to me and said, "Mama won't wake up." 10 days later, Mama died from a blow to the head from that Monday night. Last night would have been 44 years. This morning was 44 years that my sister came into my bedroom and woke me and says, "Mama won't wake up." 44 years to the day. Satan looked at what you have done to your mother, he said. "You just let her die." I believed that lie for 30 years. I blamed my dad for 30 years. Our family had unforgiveness for 30 years. The devil was ripping our family apart. I, too, was drinking, doing drugs, anything I could do to kill the pain that I was feeling inside of me, the shame, the guilt, the unforgiveness in my heart was more than a 15-year-old could take. No one could help me or even seem to care. My daddy remarried the next year. Now I had a stepmother that tried to take care of us, but she too had a drinking problem. Now I had another one to take care of. My daddy would always side with her to keep peace in our marriage. But for me, there was no peace. I began to feel rejected and abandoned from my father. Now I was losing my dad too. At 17 years old, I met an angel. my wife, Jan. Jan was truly a gift from God. She cried with me, prayed over me, and never gave up on me. We got married a few years later, and God blessed us with two amazing children that Jan raised while I was living the lie that Satan was feeding me. The unforgiveness, the guilt, the shame, the abandonment from my dad. Remember, growing up, our family was blessed. When our family fell into sin, we became poor. I was so poor that when I was dating Jan, I would go to her house barefooted because I didn't have any shoes that looked good enough to wear. I'd pull up in this raggedy car that we had, and Jan's brother that was 7 would say, "I heard you coming. That car you got's falling apart, and you don't have any shoes. I guess they're falling apart too." And I'd say, "Yeah, everything I got's falling apart." That's what I would tell him. Yep. My sweet brother, Corbett, loved my mama so much, he could no longer take the pain of losing her and the rejection of our father. At the age of 33 years old, my brother Corbett died of a drug overdose. Satan said to me again, "Now look what you've done to your brother." Again, more guilt, more shame, more unforgiveness toward my dad. Started my first business in 1980. The world's views, you know, they tell you to be successful, you got to have titles, cars, boats, houses, and money. I started working so hard to make a name for myself, hoping to fill that empty place in my soul. You know, the world tells us these things will make you happy. Just another lie that was told from the world and from Satan, and I believed it all to be true. I did have everything. The cars, the boats, the houses, and the money. A wife that loved me, my children that was crazy about me, but still had the empty place in my soul. My wife, Jan, would ask me sometimes, "Do you think you will ever be happy?" And I would say, "I hope so. I hope that one day I will be happy again." Well, in 2006, that day came. When my uncle and nephew invited me to go to Alaska for a 10-day men's retreat, they called it an encounter with God. Well, by this time, I had everything I thought I ever wanted. Titles in church. People looking at me like I had it all together. But still had that empty place in my soul. I did not want to go to this encounter. For 3 weeks, I made up excuses why I did not want to go. I could barely make it on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, much less go to a retreat for 10 days. But God would not let me rest. All I could think about was 3 weeks was going to Alaska. I was sitting on our patio at home, and Jan walks out and sits down and asks, "Is everything okay?" I said, "Everything is great. I just can't quit thinking about the men's retreat in Alaska." She said, "You need to call and see if it's too late for you to attend." So I called, and they said I could come. There was one ticket left on that plane, and it was in first class. God would send you in style if you only obey Him. Amen. 3 days later, I'm sitting on a plane, looking out the window at the northern lights, thinking, "Where am I going, Lord?" The Lord put in my spirit this verse, Jeremiah 29:11-13. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." When I arrived in Anchorage, Alaska, I still had a 5-hour drive to a place called Sedona, Alaska. When I arrived at the retreat in Sedona, in the middle of nowhere, we were greeted with 22 people I did not know. They acted to me strange and different. I'm thinking by now, why did I come? If I knew how to get back to the airport, I would leave, but did not have a clue where I was at. The next 7 days we spent together was amazing. God opened my eyes to many things about people and myself. Alaska is the most beautiful place I had ever seen. The people that I thought was strange and different were men and ladies that loved God. They loved messed up people like me. They were there to help put me in place to have an encounter with God, to be set free from my past and to experience true forgiveness. The encounter with God was the last 3 days of our 10-day trip. Saturday morning was life-changing for me. That was about forgiveness. After each session of teaching, they would give an opportunity to come and pray at the foot of the cross. This cross was made out of 4x4 posts. This was different for me because I come from a small church. I'd never seen anything like this before. When the invitation was given, I had a strong feeling to come over me. I walked down to this cross and I kneeled down. And when I put my hands on this cross, I began to weep like I've never wept before. And I said to God that morning, if my earthly father does not love me, how can anyone love me? Deep in my spirit, God said to me, I've never left you nor forsaken you. When I returned to my seat, I looked out the window and the sun was shining in like I've never seen before. From that moment, I've never been the same. Psalms 43. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear it and will trust in the Lord. I closed the doors to my past that morning. The doors that Satan opened when I was 7 years old has now been closed. Forgave myself for 30 years of believing the lies that Satan had been feeding me. I forgave my father for everything. My chains were broken. My chains were gone. And I had been set free. When I returned home, Jan and the family picked us up at the airport. Jan, as soon as she seen me, she knew I looked different. A few days passed and Jan said to me, you are so different. You are like a different person. She said, you have always been good, but something is so different about you. The first time back at church, I was so on fire for Jesus that at the end of the first song the choir sang, I jumped up and said, praise the Lord. And everybody looked at me like I was crazy. Kind of like y'all looking at me right now, you know. I sat down and looked at my son that was sitting next to me, and he said, Dad, I think that was a bit much. I was so happy to have the peace in my soul. My chains were gone, no more unforgiveness. I went and talked to my family members and friends and asked them to forgive me. And I asked them to forgive me for the hurt and pain they caused me. The power of forgiveness is so amazing. The freedom that comes when you take this step to forgive one another. I was so excited when I got back from Alaska to go talk to my dad and tell him what happened to me in Alaska. And I was hoping that he could receive the healing that God had given to me. My dad did not want to listen to any of it. He said, that's good, son. I'm glad for you. I was that person that looked for my Bible each Sunday morning because I didn't read it throughout the week. After Alaska, I began reading my Bible and praying for hours in the morning and at night. I was so in love with Jesus, I didn't want to go back to that old man that I was. A few months after returning from Alaska, God began to connect us with like-minded Christian business leaders that had a common goal, and that to help support the mission field and to spread the gospel throughout the world. It's called Blitz Worldwide. 2 years later, I was in Brazil. Y'all hold on, it's fixing to get real good here. We were all just in a worship service praising the Lord when a man walks up to me and begins praying for me in a native language. After the service, a guy from our team said to me, "Steve, he was the only one you went to and prayed for." So I was thinking, I would like to know what he prayed for. I said, "If God wants me to know, this man will come to me." I watched him pass a time or two, but didn't get a chance to talk to him. The man walks up behind me and taps me on the shoulder and asks my interpreter to ask me a question. And the question was, "Do you need healing?" My first thought was, am I sick? Is my wife sick? Are my children sick? Then I thought, well, healing could be a relationship. And I thought of my dad and some family members that still needed healing. And I said, "Yes, I need healing." And he said to me, "I believe you have received the healing." Just a few days after I returned from Brazil, my dad got very sick and was taken to Duke Hospital. The doctors came into the family room and spoke to my second stepmother and her daughter, whom did not like us very much. My two sisters and myself was in there. The doctor was just in there long enough to say, "Good chance your dad won't make it through the night." Then he leaves. We're standing there not knowing what to do. I said, "All we can do is start praying." We started praying. I prayed for my stepmother. We forgave one another. Her daughter gave her heart to Jesus. God healed our family while my daddy was lying in ICU. The next morning, we go in to see daddy. And he's sitting up in a chair. And I said, "Daddy, you look great." He said, "I feel great, sugar." He always called us sugar. "I'm going home today. My dad received the healing that we received in the family room just the night before." This is all true, folks. Now stay with me. We're almost there. And this, the best part is fixing to come. My dad did come home. I stopped by the next day to see him, and I walked into the house, and my stepmom was so happy. She was hugging on me and just happy to be set free. And we go into the living room and see my dad, and I sit down next to him on the couch, and my stepmother starts saying, "Tell him what happened. Tell him what happened." I said, "What are you talking about?" She says, "Tell him what happened in the family room at the hospital." So I begin to tell my dad how we forgave one another. And our family has been restored. Tears start running down my dad's face. And I said to my dad, "Do you know that you could have died?" And he said, "Yes, that's what they told me." I looked at my dad and said to him, "I want to share with you one more time what happened to me in Alaska 2 years ago." I began to share the gospel with my dad. I said, "God loves you. And he can set you free and help you to forgive yourself for the past that happened to mom over 30 years ago. Forgiveness is the only way to freedom. And that God loves you and will forgive you of all your sins if you're only asking him into your heart and life." I asked my dad, I said, "If you would have died in the hospital, Dad, would heaven have been your home?" Tears rolling down his face and mine too. He said, "I think so. I hope so. I've always tried to be a good person my whole life." I said, "Daddy, you must be sure. Do you want to be sure that heaven will be your home?" My dad gave his heart to Jesus that day at the age of 80 years old. Our family had been restored. My dad found peace and salvation. It was the happiest we'd seen him over 32 years ago. Our family got to enjoy our dad for four more months before God called him home to be with him in 2008. 30 years of unforgiveness in our family. And God restores our family 4 months before my dad passes away. So our family story is all about forgiveness. So what is yours? What is your family story? What is your story? Maybe today you need to forgive your mom and dad like I did. Maybe you need to forgive a child or a sister, or maybe even a coworker for what they did to you maybe years ago. You know, the cross represents forgiveness and salvation, what God did for us on the cross. So we want to give each of y'all an opportunity to be set free like I was over 30 years ago. I carried that unforgiveness and that guilt and that shame, what happened to me when I was 15 years old. 15 years old, I carried that until I was 46 years old. Young men, don't you carry nothing like that long. You go ahead and forgive, and you close the doors to your past as a young man. And don't wait till you're 46 years old like I did. We almost missed the door to having forgiveness with my family and being restored as a family again. Satan almost had his way. He tried to destroy our family for over 30 years. I challenge each of you to come and pick up your cross for Jesus today. But for those of you that don't know your Lord and Savior, or maybe even need to rededicate your life like my dad did, doesn't matter if you're 7 years old or 80 years old or 85 years old. My dad went to church his whole life, had the roles in church. That's okay. But you know what? My dad wasn't sure that heaven would be his home. If anyone here today is not sure that heaven will be your home, today is your day of salvation, like my dad. My dad is in heaven today. My dad was a complete different person. And we got to enjoy him those last few days. So, if anyone has never accepted Jesus, we'd never like to close the service without asking anyone if they want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So John 3:3, Jesus said unto them, "Most surely I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Let us pray. If anyone wants to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior today, just pray this simple prayer with me to yourself. You don't have to pray it out loud. That's between you and God. Like the day that I went down in Alaska and laid my hands on that cross, something came over me like I've never felt before. So if you want Jesus in your heart and life, just pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of all my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and life right now. I will make you my Lord and Savior. No one looking around. If anyone prayed that prayer, I ask you, Lord, I ask the people just to be bold and to come down. I sprinkle some crosses on the altar. Just come down. If anyone has unforgiveness, they want to forgive anyone or go to someone today for any forgiveness, just come and pick up their cross and follow Jesus today. The invitation is open. We ask you just to come and pick up your cross today and follow Jesus. Anybody wants to make a commitment, all heads bowed, eyes closed, just start coming this way. This is between you and God. Like the day it was when I was in Alaska, I didn't care who was around me, and I'm glad that I made that decision. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. God bless y'all. Thank you for having us.